Harold Fisher. It's a Medical Monday, and we are continuing the discussion about summer skincare, health, and beauty. My guests are dermatologist Dr. Crystal Agu and celebrity makeup artist Kim Lee. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lines are still open. I'll take as many calls as we can, but I want to go back to my guests. Kim, talk to me a little bit about, let's talk about facials, for example. You mentioned earlier about cleaning your face during, during the summer. For those who get facials, who like to have, that kind of hands-on work, is it a good thing to do during the summer? And if you do it yourself, how should you clean your skin during the summer?
Well, facials are going to be very important in the maintenance of your skin. I think the older you get or the more mature you become or whatever your concerns are about your skin, you want to address those concerns accordingly. And so if you have a concern with large pores or if you have a concern perhaps with acne or if you have a concern with dryness, then you're going to gravitate to facials or facial treatments that actually are going to help to remedy those issues. And so facials are very, very important. And now is the time where women are doing a lot of at-home facials. And so now the big trend is it's the charcoal facial, which I love because the charcoal facial actually pulls out a lot of the impurities out of the skin. And literally, you put this black mask on your face and it literally pulls out. You have to be careful not to attach it to the hair, but also being mindful that you don't want to utilize it if you're going to have an adverse reaction all over. So you want to do a patch test, of course.
Not to interrupt, is that the mask where after it dries,
you peel it off
and you peel it and then you have things that look like stalagmites
yes.
that are coming out of it?
That's absolutely correct. And I actually did at home charcoal mask facial, if you will. And it was really fun. I actually did it live and my followers just went crazy because all of them wanted to know, does this really work? And it does work. And so they have, masks that you can get as low as, $10 at the CVS all the way up to $50 at, Sephora. So you can definitely, it's well within your price point, but they're fun to be able to do and to be able to do them at home. But just keep in mind that you don't want to just pick up anything to do an at-home mask or a treatment. You want to make sure you're reading the labels and gravitating to products that are going to actually deal with your concerns. And one of the things that I like to encourage my clients to do and customers to do is to educate yourself on your skin. So know what your issues and concerns. The older you become, certainly your issues are probably going to be fine lines and wrinkles. Or if you're a person who has, dark circles or puffiness, whether it's hereditary or it's, seasonal from your allergies. Those are things that are your concerns. So you want to gravitate to products that are going to help to remedy that. Don't just pick up something that's going to just look fun. Like, oh, my girlfriend uses papaya scrub, and now I'm going to go home and do an at-home facial. And your skin is sensitive and you have issue with breakouts and things like that. And now your skin is inflamed. And now you're going to see Dr. Agu because you have caused yourself and got yourself into a frenzy. So make sure you're educating yourself. I think a visit to the dermatologist always helps to let, so that professional can let you know, hey, you have combination skin or you're going through, a situation because perhaps you're on medication or perhaps, you're having a change in, in your lifestyle. Sometimes lifestyle change can cause your skin to be reactive to. So you want to just make sure that you're not overreacting to something that your skin is reacting to. So that's when you take a little trip to see Dr. Agu and you just ask, hey, what's going on with my skin? And don't try to self-medicate.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Janice calling from
yes.
Suitland. Hey, Janice, what's on your mind?
Hi. I think you kind of answered my question because I was calling about the parabens and lotions and sunscreens.
You were calling about the
Paraben.
Oh, the
paraben. Yeah, paraben.
Now, what is paraben?
So, parabens are a class of chemical products that, in animal models, has an estrogen-like effect on the body.
Okay.
And I'm going to preface this by. I'm just going to step back for a second. Okay.
Let's step back.
I'm going to step back. And the step back is all over the counter cosmetic products. None of those products are regulated by the FDA.
Okay.
Okay. You can put any product on the shelf. You can say it treats acne. You can say it does whatever. And none of that has to be run by the FDA. You can put a list of ingredients and you can omit whatever you want. Okay. None of that is regulated by the FDA. The FDA only steps in if 100 people have a huge burn or there are birth defects. Then they'll step in and they will ask the manufacturer to pull their product, but they will not mandate that that product is pulled. Okay. So that's a step back. So the reason that people are becoming more concerned about what they find in their products over the counter is because there's no regulatory body. And so there are dozens of chemicals that people are a little bit concerned about, and parabens being one of them. And the reason people get concerned about excess estrogen is because, for instance, there's no connection between parabens and breast cancer, but for instance, people who are at risk for breast cancer, getting excess estrogen is concerning, right? So those individuals will not go on birth control pills, for example. Also, if you're pregnant and you're using products that contain parabens, people get nervous, you know, are these parabens exerting an estrogen-like effect on my baby boy? None of those things have been proven in human, but they've been seen in mouse models. And so that's why parabens more, as of recently, have become a popular topic of discussion.
I see. Okay. Well,
hopefully that helped. That step back helped.
Okay.
There are certain products, and sunscreen is a big one for me.
So what's your question?
And there are some lotions that what do I do if I can't find a sunscreen that don't have these parabens in it? Every time I use a sunscreen, you know, I break out, blister, you know, and it comes to find out most of them have parabens in it. So what do you do?
Yes, I would go for sunscreens that say they have sensitive skin. You might be talking about PABA-free sunscreens. PABA is an ingredient that a lot of people react to in sunscreens, but look for sunscreens for sensitive skin that contain titanium dioxide or zinc oxide. Those are going to be better for people who have a history of allergic reactions to sunscreen.
Okay.
And then I do have a question. Now, is your face, is it swelling or are you having irritation to the skin?
I'll get irritation, little breakouts. I've even tried the lip ointments with sunscreen in them, and that does not work, you know.
Right, you're going to really have to go for the thick white ones because allergies to sunscreens are incredibly common. So I hear this question a lot, and it is a lot of it is kind of like guess and check, but really you're going to want to make sure they say sensitive on the bottle. And you're going to want to make sure that they are either zinc oxide or titanium dioxide without any other chemical ingredients. And so these are going to be the ones that are a little bit harder to rub in.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. And before we go back to the phone lines, both of you have some things you want to share with us briefly. Kim, go ahead first.
And so I just wanted to just kind of add that there are some at-home remedies that you can do if you are having an adverse reaction to sunscreens or to just sun, period. And one of the things that I actually love to do is it's actually cold milk. Cold milk on your face helps to constrict the blood vessels and it reduces the swelling. So the fat in the whole milk actually soothes and dries irritated skin. So sometimes there are little things that you can do at home that can actually help to remedy some issues that you're having. Another thing that I love is rose water. So rose water with distilled water together, that combo, you can actually make it right at home. It's actually just a very it's a refreshing toner on the face.
How do you make rose water?
So you just boil your fresh flowers, your petals, in distilled water, and you let it sit and steep. And then you just put it in a spray bottle and you just spray. And it's going to be very cooling and very refreshing. And it's great over your whole body, actually. And the natural fragrance is very beautiful. So, I mean, there are things that you can actually do to kind of remedy some of the issues that you're having at home.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you wanted to also talk about something, Dr. Agu. Yeah. An event or?
Yes, I actually, and I mentioned it earlier when the gentleman called, but I just wanted to mention that the Fundamentals of Ethnic Hair, A Dermatologist's Perspective is available for sale. It's on Amazon. So any of the listeners out there who have hair questions, it's the first book of its kind written by dermatologists. And we really felt like it was a need that needed to be addressed.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda calling from Fort Washington. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I have a question. I was diagnosed with mycosis fungoides a few years ago. And when I go out, I do use the SPF 50. I was wondering, is it safe to use that on my face as well as my body? And how often should I be reapplying this to my face and my body? And also, what is my exposure to the skin? Like, how long or how short a period should I be outside at a time? I'm on oral chemotherapy for this.
Okay, but before we even get into that, what is my... What?
Mycosis fungoides is a type of skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually... a skin cancer that is slightly more common in African Americans, but it really generally can be seen in anyone of any race, usually seen in people who are in their 50s and above, but there is a type that can be seen in children as well. And so most people, this is a type of skin cancer that generally has a very favorable prognosis, but requires very long-term treatment. And that's the case for most people. There are some people who present in a more advanced stage, but...
So, and what was your question, Wanda, about that?
My question was, I use SPF 50 on my body. Is it safe to use SPF 50 on my face as well? And how often shall I be reapplying?
Yes, so the same rules apply, I think, for everyone. Having a diagnosis of mycosis fungoides shouldn't change this, but SPF 50 is great. I love SPF 50. Like I mentioned earlier, it's going to give you great protection even if you apply a thin layer, and certainly you can use it on the face and the body. Some people prefer to use something thinner on the face so that they can rub it in easier, but if you don't mind putting what you use on the body on your face, that's perfectly fine. If you're going to be out for more than 2 to 3 hours, just plan on reapplying after that time. If you're going to be in the water, make sure you reapply after you get out of the water, unless you're using a waterproof sunscreen. But if you're kind of just doing your day-to-day activities, you're going to be just driving in your car, you can just apply once, just any time that you expect to be outdoors.
Okay. Wanda, thank you so much for sharing with us. Real quick, before the break, let's go to Alexandra. Is it Alexandra?
Alexander.
Alexander. Thank you so much. You have a quick question about sunscreen.
So basically, I just wanted to know, how can we trust the sunscreen industry? Because I'm 38 years old. I've never worn sunscreen. I travel a lot. I was just in Cuba April for my birthday, and it was very hot there. And I've never had any problems with my skin. And most of my friends, we've never worn sunscreen. So I'm trying to figure out, why are they pushing the sunscreen on, especially African Americans? Because I don't know anyone who's ever had, you know, burns on their face from being out in the sun. Mm. Not a black person anyway.
Okay. Real quick.
Let me answer that question for you, sir, Alexander. One of the things that African Americans seem to forget is that our ozone layer has been affected tremendously over the last 10 years between catalytic converters and cars. And, you know, our ozone layer is really been depleted by all of the chemical deposits in our air and in our atmosphere. And so we have to be very, very careful about our skin. And one of the things that African Americans seem to fail to realize is that we have some of the highest cases of skin cancer that have been misdiagnosed or not detected because we fail to believe that we can burn or that we can develop skin cancer. And so it's very important that you are protecting your skin. Having the melanin in the skin is definitely helpful, but having the coverage is going to be what's going to protect you. And I am definitely a component of protection.
And let me say before I go to a break, and I was of that same mindset, Alexander, until I went to the Dominican Republic last year, got a massage on a table on the beach, and the table was covered when I got off of the table because I had no sunscreen on and I shaved my head, as soon as I got out into the sun, I could literally feel a change in my scalp. And I did get a slight burn. So you may be one of the lucky ones, but hey, don't chance it. Don't chance it. Going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sabrina in Silver Spring. And like I said, we're going to talk about Botox. We're going to also talk about sunscreen for children. We're going to talk about your diet. All kinds of goodies. We'll be back in just a moment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about summer skincare, health, and beauty. I want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Sabrina. Sabrina calling from Silver Spring. What's on your mind, Sabrina?
Hi. I took my daughter. Well, my daughter and I were in Virginia Beach a couple of months ago, probably about 2.5 months ago. And we were on the boardwalk, and she wanted to get henna. So reluctantly, I let her do it. However, it hasn't disappeared like it should do. And now it's, it looks like a permanent tattoo on her arm. So my next step, I do plan to take her to the doctor, but I wanted to know, is it something else I should be looking for? Something else I can do to help, remove it? Or I'm just,
Let me see what the experts have to say about that.
So the henna that she has, is it a black henna or is it a brown or red henna? What color henna is it?
It was a black henna. And after I did the research, I realized that, you know, I guess they put some chemicals in it now.
Yes, they are. They're putting a chemical in it called PPD, which is a long term. Mm-hmm. It's a ingredient that helps the product to last longer and dry faster. And
right.
So the black henna is not FDA approved. And so it is something that is definitely, I don't want to say black market, but it's out there and, you know, people are using it. One of the things you could actually do that can actually speed up the process of removal is probably using lemon juice. Lemon juice actually helps to remove any kind of discoloration to the skin when it comes to like makeup products. But I would definitely take my, you know, daughter just to see a dermatologist, but I'm sure that she will be fine.
Okay.
You know, I didn't get a big rash or it didn't seem like it was infected or anything. So that's probably why I've been slow about it. But I'll definitely try the lemon juice and I'll just take her to the doctor. Should I mix the lemon juice with anything or just straight lemon juice?
No, lemon juice is fine by itself, but it normally will last up to about 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. So you said how long ago was it that she?
Yeah, it's been about 2.5 months.
Oh, 2.5 months. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess the appearance was looking more like a permanent tattoo now. That's what, you know, caused my concern.
Got you. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I want to talk a little bit about Botox. We were talking about this actually off air. For those who decide to get Botox, should there be any concern about what season you get any Botox treatments in? Does it matter whether you have it done in the summer or perhaps during the winter or the spring or the fall?
No, you can get Botox all year round. The important thing about Botox, though, is that, you know, it is a toxin. And, you know, when I put Botox in someone's skin, I'm being very deliberate about where it goes. And so the problem is some people will get Botox and they'll go to the gym and then they'll rub sweat off their face and they're starting to move the Botox around and that can cause some side effects. All those side effects wear off with time, but it's really important that you don't anticipate being active in that first day that you're getting Botox. We don't want you to lie down. We don't want you to massage your forehead if you're getting it in your forehead, etc. So if people just tend to be more active in the summer or they don't think that they can take a break for a few hours, then that may be the reason that they want to hold off. But to be honest, you can get it all year round. I really don't see a problem with it. And yeah.
Okay. And the sun has nothing to do with it?
No.
No. Okay.
We love Botox.
Yeah.
Do you really?
We do.
Yes. It's great stuff. It really is. And it's very safe. And, you know, if it's done by a trained professional, it looks great. And it's undetectable.
For our listeners, you should just see the look on the ladies' faces. Kim, we love bow ties. Okay, all right.
Can I go back, though?
Let's go back.
I wanted to talk about, the gentleman called about why African Americans are being encouraged to use sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Certainly. So Kim brought up a fantastic point. I think for our listeners, everyone should remember, you know, Bob Marley died from skin cancer. Black patients certainly present later with skin cancer, but skin cancer is exceedingly rare in Black patients. But there are many benefits of sunscreen. So it's not just decreasing your risk of skin cancer, because you're right. Most people are never going to have to deal with a skin cancer, and they're not going to know anybody who had a skin cancer. But sunscreen, if you have any concerns about aging, sunscreen is your first defense. So we with brown skin have a natural SPF of about 4 to 7. But you can imagine if instead of just relying on your natural SPF, you're also doing an SPF of 30 every day, that's really going to help prevent fine lines and wrinkles. Also, if you have brown marks from acne or any type of discoloration, melasma, sunscreen is going to help those spots fade faster because the sun darkens all of those brown marks. So there are so many reasons to use sunscreen, and certainly preventing a sunburn is another one, because a sunburn just uncomfortable. So there are a lot of reasons to use sunscreen. I don't want people to think that the only reason they should use it is for skin cancer. And also, that gentleman, you know, who's in his upper 30s, you're not going to reap the benefits of using sunscreen. You're not really going to experience the benefits until you're in your 60s, because it takes years of sun exposure for skin cancers to develop. So people in their 30s really aren't getting skin cancer anyway, for the most part.
One other thing that he said, and I think this is certainly a misconception, he was talking about his trip to Cuba, and he said it was really hot. Heat has nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly about ultraviolet rays.
Absolutely.
Because you can go skiing.
Absolutely.
And if you are, you know, out, you know, on the snow, then those same ultraviolet rays can be reflected off of the white snow.
Absolutely.
And sunburn is even more of an issue when you're right out in the snow.
Absolutely. Those sunburns tend to be even worse. And it's because people are at a high elevation, so the air is thinner. Mm-hmm. There's not as much protection from the clouds. And you're right, it reflects off of the snow, so it intensifies the ultraviolet rays. So absolutely, it has nothing to do with the heat.
Now, what about mole removal? Should you have moles removed during a certain time of the year? Should you avoid having them removed during the summer months?
That's a great question. This is the time of year that I do see patients who want to hold off on getting moles removed, because when you get moles removed, it's a minor surgical procedure, but you're going to have to clean the wound and protect the wound. So if you have plans to go on the lake, then you don't want an open wound in the lake, okay? It's fine to swim in a chlorinated pool with the wound, but it's not a good idea to be in any type of fresh water. So some people will avoid it for that reason. But then also, like, if you're going on a trip and you just don't want to have to worry about changing a Band-Aid, like, once a day, then that's another reason people hold off. The only people that I would strongly encourage having moles removed are people that I'm concerned that it could be cancerous.
Kim, talk to me about diet as it relates to, you know, to skin care. We hear, you know, so much about what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, what you should drink, what you shouldn't drink. Give me the diet 101 rundown.
So naturally, we should be drinking lots of water. I mean, we know that we should be drinking half of our body weight or more. That's going to be extremely helpful.
Half of our body weight or more in a day?
In a day.
In ounces.
I was about to say, because at two
not in pounds.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, at 225,
right,
you know, 112 pounds of water in one day, that's
it's ounces.
Yeah.
It's definitely ounces. And then also, just staying away from fatty foods, fried foods, things like that are going to actually help your skin to look better and look fresh. We have to remember that what you're doing internally is what is being seen externally a lot of times. And so often, you know, when we intake things that are not good for us internally, it will show out outwardly. So you'll see lots of clogged pores, or you'll see breakouts, and you'll see things like that. I am of the philosophy that you really should eat according to your blood type, and you should be eating things that are going to agree with you. When you eat things that disagree with you, it shows on your skin. So you may have, you know, all kinds of breakouts and rashes and hyperpigmentation and just issues that could be avoided if you just don't eat the things that you know that you're allergic to. For instance, for me, I eat tomatoes. I love tomatoes, and I know that I should not eat them. And I itch and I get red and I break out. I know that. And that's just something that I have to deal with. But for others who are allergic to wheat, or who are allergic to other things that are inclusive of lots of foods, you need to be very mindful of that. And I would actually suggest going and getting, and I don't know the exact name, I'm sure Dr. Agu could tell me the name of the test that you can get to determine what you're allergic to and what foods you should be staying away from. I know when my son got that test done, it was very, very helpful. And he did not have a lot of the rashes and a lot of the eczema and the issues that he was getting, because he was allergic to peanuts and he was allergic to wheat and he was allergic to all of these things that were causing his skin to break out. So I would definitely, again, make a trip to your dermatologist, or, you know, just your allergist to see exactly. I think that's an allergist.
And definitely, you know, with kids with eczema, food allergies are going to be an issue. But on the flip side, you know, I see people with like genetic causes of skin rashes, and everyone's looking for a diet fix. And 99% of the time, diet is not the cause, but in kids, it really is. Or like if you have an allergy, like if every time you eat a tomato, you get a rash, you have an allergy to tomatoes,
yeah.
Right? But most of the rashes don't try to do an elimination diet until you see a doctor and they tell you that it's related to your diet.
Kim, you've got a beauty camp coming up. Real quick, I've got a minute left.
Yes, we have a wonderful beauty camp for teens, especially for teens. It's a beauty and fashion camp happening on July 24th through the 28th. It is the end of the month, and we're going to deal with beauty, fashion. We're going to be doing some self-esteem building. We're going to teach them etiquette. We're going to also show them how to walk in heels. I'm going to take them on a wonderful field trip here to HUR and to the TV station. So they're going to actually see beauty and behind the scenes, and they're going to actually learn how to have it from the inside out. So
there's
not
no
just
beauty
makeup.
Here at the Daily Drum. It's
lots
just
of
me.
Beauty here with you, Harold.
I'll post that information as well. Ladies, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And stay beautiful and stay healthy during the course of this summer. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, July 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for the connection with Lorna Newton.